Live from the HananiaAutos.com studio.
Live.
This is the Gus Bradley Show.
Gus Bradley Show.
Jaguars head coach Gus Bradley and former Jaguar Jeff Loggeman are brought to you by Ticket Exchange and by Everbank. The Gus Bradley Show begins right now.
And welcome into the Gus Bradley Show. Jeff Loggeman alongside the head coach on the eve of preseason game number 3, which many view as the most important game in the preseason, where the starters are expected to go into the second half to kind of get accustomed to that layover, I guess you could say, at halftime. Is the importance still there? I mean, because, you know, years ago, this game was it.
Well, yeah, you know, it is, for multiple reasons. Just for us as coaching staff to get another chance to look at the reports that we want during the regular season and the presentations that are going to take place, the guys in the locker room to come out in halftime and go out in the third quarter to perform. Here it is, the national environment, you know, a heightened environment, so that's good for us. I mean, really important for many reasons.
Do you see some of the young guys kind of hearing that national TV and maybe kind of going,
Well, we addressed it this week, you know, and, you know, sometimes these guys, they feel like this is my chance. This is my chance to showcase who I am. But I really give our team a lot of credit. These guys have really, we've had really good week of practice, and there's not much talk about that. More just, you know, hey, this is a good opportunity for us, a great challenge.
Used to love playing national games. I mean, any game was great, but the national games, I mean, just knowing your peers are watching you, or at least they have the opportunity to watch you, I think always heighten the environment of that game.
Well, that's it. That's, you know, the master of your ability is a guy that can go out there, whether it's a calm or a heightened environment, and play the same and not get too caught up in it. And that's always a challenge for some of these younger players. And that's, you know, I think not to talk about it is being unrealistic. We had to talk about it. We brought it to their attention. And, you know, we made note of it, and we addressed it, and then we moved on.
When you try, or when you're talking about making this preseason game number 3 as much like a regular season week of preparation as you possibly can, like, you know, I guess what, Monday was considered your Wednesday, and so on and so forth, the dawn down the line, is this week also really another step in the evaluation process? Because, you know, for the first two games, I mean, you're talking about playing rules football, which means you're not evaluating the – so give fans an idea – when you say, okay, hey, look, we're taking this next step in this preseason to make this game look as much like a regular season game as possible. Game plans are in, statistical information in.
Yeah, you just do test runs on the reports. But, you know, not so much matchups, maybe a little bit, but not too much. More so, you know, you look at tendencies, you know, in preseason, just so your coaches can start talking about them.
Packages, you know, get expanded, maybe?
A little bit. Maybe like with the, you know, you're looking at third down instead of looking at two or three, you know, series of third down the previous two games. Now you're looking at, you know, the two preseason games and kind of talking to the players in that term. So I would say a little bit more game planning, but not to the extent of a regular season game.
Now when you talk about regular week of work and the game plan is instrument, the evaluation process – and when I say this is another step, seeing if guys can handle maybe an expanded game plan with other information that's included, is that not also valuable?
Yes, very much so. We talk about we evaluate everything, and we're watching everything. So, you know, in this environment, and then also for them to set up a routine. You know, what do you do on Friday, you know, which was, you know, this week was yesterday. You know, what do you do when you have a little bit of time? What are you going to do to take care of your body? You know, what massage? Are you going to do yoga? You know, what are all the things that you're going to do and start that routine? And I think that's what our players were figuring out as
all right,
well.
So routine, okay. A Gus Bradley routine, Friday. Yoga. Or massage.
Yeah. No, I didn't say me.
Or you're doing
Let's
both?
Let's make that clear. No. No, I didn't do any of it. But you know what? The soft tissue injuries, I think you're starting to hear a lot of talk about it. Mm-hmm. Some of the injuries taking place. And you have to be aware of it. And you really design some of your practices accordingly. We get great information from our strength coach and trainer. And we utilize that in making some of our decisions. And, you know, one of the things was to take some time on a Friday, which was again yesterday, and implement some of these things for our guys to have an opportunity to, you know, take care of themselves.
See, that gets me all messed up. Our Friday, which was yesterday.
Yeah. I know. That's what I have to think of it as a typical Friday practice, for our players, because that's what we would do in the regular season. So this whole week, you're right. Okay, competition Wednesday on Monday.
Right,
turnover Thursday on Tuesday, because that's how, once we get in the regular season, that's how we all think.
You know, what's crazy is I don't know how many years, and maybe still to this day, Tuesday is like for me a day off. I mean, because that's your schedule. And how many years you've been in the NFL now?
I think this is what, nine.
You're never going to be able to. And I know coaches' schedules are different, but on Sunday morning you're going to wake up when you're 75 years old, and you're not going to know what to do because you're used to waking up on Sundays, and it's game time.
Yeah. No, I know. And
it's amazing how the body just becomes in tune.
Really, during the season. I mean, the bye week is what throws you off a little bit. You're like, okay, hold on. And it takes you a couple of days to regroup and kind of calm down a little bit. But, you get into that. You want to be careful that it doesn't become – you're still about the commitment, not the routine. Right. We always say don't confuse routine with commitment. And I think that's always the challenge.
Now, going back to this yoga thing, I've done some things, I guess, that are close to Pilates or whatever. What is exactly yoga for the players? And have you ever done it?
No.
For real? Is it a stretching thing?
Yeah, I would say more of a stretching. The players, and again, I go off of Milo and Scott and our players, do a lot of it in the off season and during OTAs. And, it's just more of a stretching and flexibility and things like that for our players. And, it's not hot yoga. It's not, like you hear those conversations. No, but, again, just any way we can take care of the guys or help them at least come up with a routine. And it's not so much our older guys, Logs, as you know, it's our younger guys that have been in the NFL. They're getting ready to be involved in a 16-game season and hopefully more, in their career. So they've got to learn this a long season, and you got to start right now, or really in training camp, as far as taking care of your body.
Yeah, with a lot of the young players, the playing at night, it's kind of secondhand because, at college, that's when you play for the most part if you're in a big program. You're playing Saturday night sometimes. But for the most part, guys played college football at 1 o'clock on Saturdays. I grew up playing high school football Friday night, Friday Night Lights. Did you play Friday nights or was it Saturdays?
No, Friday night.
Friday night?
Yeah.
And it was interesting to me is that the night games always kind of got you going a little bit because it kind of took you back to when you first started playing in that big moment. Because, when you were a little kid and maybe playing Little League, you played during the days on Saturdays or whatever. But the big time, the ultimate, you as a kid growing up as a football player, was reaching the pinnacle, which, as a little kid, the pinnacle was high school football on Friday night.
Right.
And so, for me, even as an adult, when I was playing, the night games always kind of got me going a little bit.
It did, and that's some of the reason why in the middle of training camp, now it didn't work out, we got rained out, but to go and have a night practice, in a different environment. It's just a different feel. They're no different now. They still get, it's a different environment, and, you get amped up a little bit more, and it's cool to play under the lights.
Yeah. Injuries this week. News release comes out this week. There's going to be like 11 or 12 guys that won't play in this football game. And one of the guys that wanted to ask you about how he's doing is Josh Wells. Such a valuable player just because of his ability to be a swing tackle on game day, whether it be you call him number six or number seven. Is he going to be okay?
Well, I don't want to really talk too much about it. I don't know what was released, what our plans are with him. So, I think he'll end up being okay. The information that's out on him, I was in meetings all day, so I'll just, until I get a chance to talk to him one-on-one, we'll keep that one to ourselves.
And when you have that number of guys, there's going to be certain guys in tomorrow night's game that are going to have to carry a little bit extra load. But with that extra load comes extra opportunity.
Yeah, that's how they should look at it. And that's how they do look at it. They're excited about the opportunity. It's just like Jonathan Cyprian. It's unfortunate that he's out, but Josh Evans and Lawson, they love the opportunity, and they're going to take full advantage of it.
This week you named Stefan Wisniewski your starting center. How difficult was that decision, and what is the process What is it like to make a decision like that?
Well, it's, I mean, you watch everything. You know, you watch one-on-ones, you watch team, you watch preseason game, you know, and, boy, they're both excellent.
It was close. To, yeah. I mean, for me watching, I mean, that's so close.
It is. And Luke is unbelievable as far as a leader, and the guys totally respect him. So now, on top of it, that makes it harder. But I think as we looked at through the evaluation, we just felt Wiz got the nod. But it's tough to have that conversation with both of them, and because they do respect one another. And Bo, you know, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say he was happy. I mean, he's a competitor.
Well, you don't want that as a coach.
No, I mean, he was, you know, that's something that was very important to him, and he competed his tail off for it. But he's also going to do whatever he can to help this team. He believes so strongly in this team, and I think that's why we appreciate him so much as well.
It was interesting talking to your quarterback, Blake Bortles, after the game in New York, briefly after the game. I said, you know, you ready to have a decision made at the center position? And he said, you know, look, he said, they're both very good football players. And I said, but, you know, I said, is there really any difference? Is it, you know, do you have to kind of change your approach when you're going under center? And he said, no, not so much that. He said, but it will be nice to know that you're talking to one instead of, you know, you're going to two different guys and trying to get, you know, now it's focusing on a group.
Right.
And for a quarterback, I mean, for a young quarterback, that's got to have some significance.
You're right. And I think that's what we were trying to get to at that position. And I said it earlier that we weren't going to make a rash decision or, you know, try to speed it up. We were going to let it take place. Our hopes were that we could get a couple games in, you know, knowing who our center was going to be. And, you know, it worked out that way. So now that line can really get solidified and work together.
And from watching them last week, I mean, to be able to put together with the first team offense, you know, had three drives of over 10 plays. You know, you didn't end up getting touchdowns out of it. But, boy, it seems to be the progress is steady with that group. It didn't matter who was in at center. I mean, the progress was good each week.
Yeah, the run game we're pleased about. We can still make great strides there, and protection is better. And, you know, I just like this group. And you're right. Really, other than scoring touchdowns, three 10-play drives, exactly what you'd hope for with a coach as far as with the players. So they get that long drive for their conditioning and then, you know, sustain it.
All right. Well, we come back here on the Gus Bradley Show. We'll talk a little T.J. Yeldon. I'm excited to see the young man play. And the segment's been brought to you by Beards Jewelry at the St. John's Town Center, where exceptional is affordable. Back after this, right here on the Gus Bradley Show on Jaguars Radio Network.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
For season tickets, single game tickets, or to learn more about being a Jaguars 365 member, call 633-2000 or visit jaguars.com. Tomorrow night, I know that there's a possibility of seeing the rookie James Sample from Louisville, and I know you've already said that, so we don't need to rehash that. He's a game-time decision. But T.J. Yeldon is expected to play, your second-round pick out of Alabama. Boy, watching him in training camp prior to the injury when he didn't have the red jersey on, the ability to anticipate and make cuts that were left to right but still at full speed without slowing down was impressive, because, and sometimes when you watch it, you go, man, he's 225 pounds moving like that.
Yeah, you know what? That's the one thing we saw when we watched him in college was his instincts and his ability to do things that, you know, that just really come natural to him, make people miss, you know, and that's what we did. We did see those things in OTAs, and you saw him in training camp. So for him to get his opportunity tomorrow, you know, he is really excited now. He is really excited about this opportunity. And so are the other running backs in the offensive line. And, you know, everybody's excited for him.
Toby Gerhart won't play, so T.J. Yeldon, this is going to be his first look. Left hand, I believe, the finger that was injured. You know, he's right hand dominant, but running back switch hands. Does he have any hesitation or concern about carrying it?
He's pretty good now. Okay. You know, I think that was a hesitation last week, but now he can protect himself, and, you know, he'll have to wear a splint on it, but, you know, can catch and carry the ball in both hands. And, you know, but, he needs to go through this, but, you know, so it's great that he's going to get this opportunity.
Pretty quiet guy.
Yeah, real quiet. I mean, I think he's, you know, you start to see him. He's opening up a little bit more, and I can't get enough of him. You know, he's just his competitiveness and his demeanor, and you know. But I think in that running back room, you're seeing him open up a little bit more. That's really a good group now. Denard Robinson and Toby and Bernard. I mean, the whole gang. You know, is really a close knit group, and I think they're really into helping each other. And I think TJ feels it.
Now, from watching the running group last year, the running back group last year, you're kind of, okay, who's going to have what role? You know, you got Toby and you got Denard. Who's going to be the guy on first and second down? Is somebody going to be a third down back? You're trying to figure it out. But, you know, and we haven't seen T.J. Yeldon yet, but, I mean, seen enough of him in training camp. You know, you got a pretty good idea of what role each guy is going to fill.
Yeah, it's
as a coach, you got to feel happy about that.
Yeah, it's tough decisions. You know, it's just, you know, how many carries and what role, and, you know, who's the guy that would start and who's going to have the, you know, like I said, the most carries. So, and all those things. And, you know, we haven't seen TJ yet. Let's see him protect. Let's see him, you know, carry the ball. Let's see him catch the ball. Let's see what his role can be and how it can be expanded. But, you know, a guy like Denard Robinson has really worked his tail off. He's up to, what, 215 pounds, came in 198. Don't think now that he's not driven and mm-hmm. competitive as well. So, you know, it's just a good group.
You know, we've talked on this show and amongst ourselves about Greg Olsen many times. And a lot of people don't realize that, you know, you've got a new running backs coach, too, Kelly Skipper, who was with Greg Olsen in Oakland. Talk about him and what he's meant for that group and for your staff, because he seems like a bundle of energy.
Yeah, he's really good, been really good for that group. You know, he's tied in, worked with Ole, and understands the system. So he can go in there and talk the same language, really good with protections and developing running backs. And, well, I'm just really pleased about having Skip on our staff and what he's done. The group has really gravitated towards him. They're getting better with every practice. And I think he's just another voice, you know, and it was so important for Ole to have a guy like that. And he's filled in really nicely.
One of the guys in that running back group hasn't gotten a ton of looks at the end of preseason game number one, Pittsburgh Steelers, Corey Grant. Undrafted running back from Auburn, got some looks. One of them's long run that he had was called back from a penalty. Had a really nice and has done a really nice job on kick returns. And might we see a little bit of him this week and next week?
Yeah, you know what? Like we said, you know, the starters or, you know, the guys that are going to be playing quite a bit will play in the first two quarters and then, you know, somewhere in the third quarter. And then we'll just see. You know, a lot of it is how much time's left and, you know, amount of reps, where it is in the game. But we'd like to get him some playing time, both him and Storm. You know, in that final quarter.
Now, since we kind of are talking about the running backs and the running game, this Detroit Lions football team that you guys will face is a great challenge for your offensive line and your running game. I was looking at the numbers, and I didn't even know that they were this good. They were the number two defense overall in the National Football League last year in yards allowed, number one against the run. And the one that really jumps out, I think they allowed like 69 yards a game rushing, which – according to the NFL history, it's like number nine all time. Great test.
It really is. You know, where they do a good job is they play with these wide nine techniques, you know, which is lining guys outside the tight
end. I like wide nines.
Yeah. Yeah, you would like it. It'd be perfect for you. But, you know, they set the edge, you know, with those techniques. And, you know, they funnel everything back to the big D linemen and to the linebackers. And it's been a good scheme for them. I think they've got the right personnel for it. And Coach Austin's come in there. You know, he was a 3-4 guy in Baltimore, but saw that they were having some success with it and just stuck with it, a lot of the same principles.
Yeah, and that's Terrell Austin. I was kind of was going to ask you about him, what his background might be. He's the defensive coordinator for the Detroit Lions. I didn't know his background. I know that, you know, in prior years, the wide nines kind of came from the previous head coach and defensive coordinator to where they ran that stuff. And there's not a lot of teams that run wide nine.
No, you know, Tennessee, you know, they brought it up from there with Coach Schwartz. And you know, they drafted to it. And, yeah, it takes – you know, there's some things, just like every defense, there's some weaknesses, but they're just very talented. And when they're very talented and a scheme, again, very similar now as far as not overly complicated, but really play with precision.
They have a guy on that defensive front that I remember going back through it 3 years ago, and it was the draft that Luke Joeckel had, and the one of the top defensive players that was in that draft was Zeke Ulanza. excellent football player, fantastic athlete, was relatively raw because he hadn't played football for a long time. He's going to be a great challenge for not only Luke Joeckel but also Jeremy Parnell because he plays both sides and rushes from both sides.
Right, and, you know, one of the things that we've worked on quite a bit is, you know, both the speed and the speed to power. And what's he, about 6'6", 285 pounds, somewhere in there?
75-ish, somewhere in there.
So, you know, he's got the size and the power, and, you know, it'll be a great challenge for us.
Before we take a commercial break, I want you to think about this because I know that with the injury to Josh Wells – and going ahead in the future, you know, you guys are always trying to find combinations of offensive linemen, about number 6 and number 7 on game day when you get to 53. Parnell, could Jeremy Parnell play left tackle in a pinch in a regular season? I'll let you think about that. And we'll take a break here on the Gus Bradley Show, and we'll be back to have that question asked and maybe answered right here on the Gus Bradley Show on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
And we're back here with the head coach, Gus Bradley, and prior to the commercial break, I talked about, you know, with Josh Wells' injury, you really don't have, you know, you've got a young guy, very young guy, Jack Rummel's a free agent, undrafted rookie from Northern Iowa, long shot to make the team. But, you know, on game days, you know, the 6th and 7th offensive linemen are so valuable, and that their value comes from the ability to play multiple positions. And sometimes when you get an injury, you may have to shuffle the line to cover for an injury in one place. And with the thought, if there were an injury to Luke Joeckel, and hopefully he's fine and healthy, could Jeremy Parnell play left tackle? You know, we've made the comment in the past that he's a right tackle mentality, but he's got some left tackle feet.
Sure. I think I'll answer that. You said I may answer it, right?
Yeah.
You gave me a little break there.
Gus, you're a head coach.
No. Well, here's what I would say. There's something about can he or could he. How about that? Could he and then would we?
Right.
Okay. So could he? Yeah, I think, you know, there's a possibility. Jeremy Parnell, he'd probably say, you know, whatever's best for the team, play tackle, and I'll take on that challenge, and that could happen. Would we? I'm not sure. You know, that side of the offensive line now is pretty good. They're doing a nice job. They really work well together, both Brandon Linder and Jeremy. So now do you move a guy out of that spot and, you know, take away that cohesiveness? So, you know, those are the questions that we would have to answer and take a look at. And then I think, you know, you move people based on the quality of your backups, like you said when we were off the air. And, you know, if the backups are good, then that's got to play into it as well.
Let's stay with that offensive line. You know, a guy that last year many thought didn't play to what maybe the expectation level was in Zane Beatles. The first two games this year, though, I thought he's played really well.
You know what? He has done a nice job. I think you got to give him credit, right? There's you know, some challenges here. You draft a guy coming in, and I do. I give him a lot of credit. Now, just like both Wiz and Luke Boenkel, I mean, here's a competitive situation, and they helped each other out, and it elevated each other's level of play. And that's what's happened with Zane. So, you know, he just got to continue to make progress, but he has put a couple games together that, you know, that stand out when you watch it on tape as more consistent play.
And going to the guy that was, you know, viewed as his competition, AJ Ken. The first game, you know, he looked like a rookie that hadn't played at all in the NFL, which is typical. Was he able to take steps in the second preseason game up in New York?
Yeah, I think with AJ, you know, where he needs reps. You know, here's a guy that's what started 42 games in college, something like that. So he played a lot in college, but the speed is different, and you know who you're going against. So he just, anytime we can get him reps, I think that you're going to see fast progress. You know, he might struggle initially, but you'll see him pick up things. He's really sharp, and I think that his level of play will jump dramatically with playing time.
It was interesting in the Giants game when you had the injury to Josh Wells, you kind of had to shuffle that second line a little bit. You know, Sam Young goes to left tackle. Pazdor goes to right tackle. You've got Wisniewski, Boenkel in at center. Then Tyler Shatley, who had been getting reps with the threes at center, now has to go in with that second team unit at right guard. And I don't think he's had a snap at right guard all of training camp.
Well, it goes to show you, like you talk about, those the offensive linemen, the more positions they can play, the more flexibility, because the numbers of linemen that we can have up on game day. So, and that's what we're doing with Luke Boenkel. You know, here's a guy who's played center, played some guard. Now, if we can get him to be a tackle, and play it, and because he's got the right mindset, just how valuable is he now to our team? So, I think that's what we're looking at. We still have some time. We're challenging our guys that, the more that you can do.
And Shatley at right guard played pretty well?
He did a nice job. Yeah, we really like him, as a center, guard, interior guy. Here's a defensive lineman that has really picked up on some things. And his toughness, I think, shows every day out in the practice field.
All right, well, let's take a break here on the Gus Bradley Show. When we come back, we'll talk a little defense and maybe take a break from the offense. And we'll do that right here on the Gus Bradley Show on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
Join John Osher and J.P. Shadrick for Jaguars.com Live every Wednesday at 1 p.m. They'll have special guests keep you informed of the latest Jaguars news and take your social media questions. Jaguars.com Live every Wednesday at 1 p.m. on Jaguars.com. And I lied before the break. I was talking, maybe thinking about moving the other side of the ball, but I want to talk about your quarterback. And we're actually going to talk about this, and I'll ask you this again for the pregame. From watching the film of Blake Bortles in the New York Giants game, the one, and I've got defensive line eyes, which means, I have a tendency to watch, the pit before I watch everything else. But watching Blake Bortles and the way his eyes are tracking on the field, young quarterbacks have a tendency to lock on or track wide receivers. And the quarterbacks that are really good have a tendency to use their eyes to maybe hold a defense one way or the other. And I'm seeing him do that. Am I seeing that accurately with your young quarterback?
No, I would agree. I think that the progression is sometimes these young quarterbacks, they look at the defensive line. they look at the rush rather than feel the rush. And I think Blake has done a good job where he can feel the rush and he's keeping his eyes downfield. That's first and foremost.
Well, let me just stop you right there. How did you coach that?
Well, I would like to say that's, I think that's more Blake. That's his toughness, his mentality. And
but that's something you just can't coach.
No. I mean, the poise that he has and the toughness and, all those traits. Okay, and then what you were talking about, the ability to look downfield, to look off a safety, that just comes with experience now. And I think by him actually playing last year, it helped him. And, and then part of our system that we're doing now with Ole and the offensive system, it requires him to do that. So, from day one, that was part of the whole basis of putting in this offense was a requirement from the quarterback.
And I remember going back to last year about this time when you said, we're committed to Chad. We want to let the young quarterback sit, and grow at his own rate. Looking back, maybe the best thing that happened to him was getting that experience.
Yeah, and like I said, if we had been successful with Chad, we wouldn't have made the change. It's one of those things that happened. With that, there was, we took quite a few sacks. And sometimes with a young quarterback, that's tough. And we just feel fortunate that Blake came, through that experience, and he's still strong-minded, very confident, and very tough. And so therefore, those reps were invaluable.
I think one of the things he's also doing is listening to him talk in interviews, et cetera. There's been some drops in games. Wide receivers drop balls. I mean, that happens in football. But I love the way that he responds to that, to the media, when he gets asked. Because he looks at it from the standpoint of, okay, my guy dropped the ball. But what if I had made a better throw? Could he have maybe made the catch?
Sure. Well, it's tough, because we challenge our team. You hold each other accountable.
And that's the hard part. And for him is to walk that fine line between, demanding more out of his teammate, but at the same time looking at himself and saying, I can be better.
Right. And I think, they demand out of each other, and the same with the receivers. They're, maybe it's a bad throw, and they want to hold Blake accountable. And, so they do a great job with it. But Blake is special that way in that he is so hard on himself. And he's always looking for the perfect ball every time to help those receivers. And that's the competitiveness in him. And, you know, as long as it doesn't tear him down or, you know, where all of a sudden it's keeping him from performing to his best ability, it's a good trait.
Reading different news around the league, and at this time in the preseason, you hear news, well, a quarterback might have a sore arm. And I know he spent a lot of time in the offseason working with Tom House and worked with your coaching staff, et cetera. He doesn't seem like his arm's getting sore.
No, he's done a really good job. Now, he definitely has a routine now. He goes in and, you know, he'll go in the weight room, do some preliminary things, and then he comes out to the field. He's got a routine, how he goes about doing it. And then his warm-up is a structured routine. And, you know, it's been very good. And knock on wood, you know, his arm has been feeling really good. But, again, I think he has a routine now that has helped him.
And the one thing that looks like that he possesses that is another thing you can't coach is natural leadership ability. Is that maybe the most impressive thing with Blake, is that he possesses some of that? And I'm not saying that he's the leader of a team, but for a young player, it's something that has to happen organically. Do you see that happening?
Well, I look at it as a leader that he has influence, and he does have influence on our team. And I think when he's out there, just look when he scored the touchdown the first preseason game. You know, when he reached and hit the pylon with the ball, and the whole team, you know, was excited. Now, you know, for him. And I think they really gravitate towards him. He has influence over them. They know that he's our leader on the offensive side and of this team. He has the great potential to do that. So they respect him.
All right, well, let's take a break here on the Gus Bradley Show, and we will flip sides of the ball after this here on the Gus Bradley Show, right here on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
You want to go ahead and do that on live air?
What, ask Tony the question I just asked?
No.
He's fine.
You got a We Believe in victory. No?
No.
Okay. All right. Back here on the Gus Bradley Show. You told me you wanted to put some energy in this show.
No,
and I'm giving you the opportunity to put some energy in this show.
I said from you, Lox.
No, man.
I need to feel you tonight. Didn't I, Joe? I said, Lox, come on, man. Let's go. We're going to make this one the best ever, you know?
Yeah, and I said, well, bring it.
I know. Let's
bring
go.
You're backing up. That's okay. Stepping over to the Jaguars' defensive side of the ball this week, probably won't see Calvin Johnson tomorrow night. Megatron, tremendous wide receiver. Very few guys possess the speed, the length, and all the other attributes that he has. Truly impressive. But you're still going to see Matthew Stafford, Golden Tate, Pettigrew, the one tight end, and then Ebron, the other young tight end. Pretty good test for your defense.
It is. And I mentioned this, that this preseason has been like that with the receivers we faced the first game, the second game, now this third game. Great test for our corners and secondary. So, you know, we need the rush. We need to get that going, and we'll see how that plays out. And, you know, in the run game is always, you know, a challenge for us. You want to try to make a team one-dimensional. Again, it is the preseason. We have a little bit of idea, some of the things they like to do, but it really comes back to us and our execution.
You say you need to feel the rush.
Well, I think, you know, first and second down, you know, as you look at guys like Jared Odrick and Roy Miller and Tyson, and those guys are very, very good run defenders, and they have the ability to put some rush on it as well. Jared Odrick has had years that he's had some sacks. So those guys can do it, but that Leo spot is where we need to do it. Now, last week, there's a lot of quick game, you know, where we end up getting our hands up and batted some balls down. But, you know, I think this week we'll get a little bit of a chance to see maybe a little bit longer developing routes where that rush is needed.
So whether it be Andre Branch or Ryan Davis, you know, Chris Smith, whoever's at that Leo position, you want to feel more.
Yeah, and even on third down, you know, Clem will play, you know, so he'll get some reps there too. So, and, you know, sometimes that's, you know, they're working together. A guy like Jared is in there on third down. So that's a new person compared to last year with Sendarek in there. So sometimes that takes a little bit of time. But, you know, it's always exciting to be at home and get that rush going.
I might have asked you this before, but now it's a little, maybe a little more pertinent because you're in preseason week, game week number three. Sendarek Marks, when his recovery is still a little bit unknown. He's not practicing yet. He's still on, PUP. So the timetable for his return is. I mean, everybody hopes that he's available for the opener, but the reality is that he had reconstructive surgery in January. And that's a pretty fast timetable for a big man that's athletic and powerful and everything else. If he's not available, is Odric a guy, because you've had Tyson Alualu playing the three, is Odric a guy that you would feel comfortable with moving into that three technique and then leaving Tyson at the strong side end where he seemed to flourish last year?
Right. That is something that could be a possibility, but right now that's not in our conversation. Tyson does a good job inside, and Jarek, that's his strength, is to play on the outside, you know, like a four technique, head up on the tackle or on the tight end. So I think with his length, it creates an advantage to us. So it's just a little bit better fit, I think, because of body type.
Right. Now, the linebacking group, Telvin Smith, where do you feel he's at right now?
Well, this will be a good game for him. You know, he'll get into the rhythm of things, know he's going to play quite a bit, and, you know, hopefully get some opportunities. He's had a really good training camp, really good training camp. So I think, you know, hopefully this game he'll get a chance to get in a little bit of a rhythm.
Could he get a matchup against their talented draft pick, Amir Abdullah, the rookie from Nebraska, who I'm sure you're familiar with after looking at all the draft picks coming out, but he looks like he's a talented player. At least he was against the Jets a couple weeks ago.
Well, yeah. You know, anytime the run game, you know, they're going to run the ball. The linebackers are so important in their fits. And so, yeah, they run the ball, then he'll get his chances.
You know, watching the Lions offense make a big jump last year, I thought the biggest jump that they made under Jim Caldwell was his ability to kind of, I guess you could say, influence Matt Stafford, and then Matt Stafford became a little bit more careful with the ball, a little more efficient with the ball. Have you seen that in the limited amount of snaps, obviously, that Matt Stafford has gotten so far in the preseason?
Yeah, he makes good decisions. You know, I think he's one of those guys that people are looking at this year where maybe he's elite, you know, where he's, you know, playing at that caliber. I think that the games that we've seen, you know, sometimes in cross breakdowns, you see that eliteness in him. And, you know, just a very, very good quarterback. And, again, playing with poise and making good decisions.
Golden Tate, you know him pretty well, don't you?
Yeah.
Played wide receiver when you were in Seattle?
Yep.
What do you think of him?
He's very talented now, very talented. I think his biggest thing is his run after catch. You know, he can make people miss. You know, he's a really, really good punt returner. So once he catches the ball as a receiver, you see some of those same traits.
You know what school he went to?
Yeah.
Who?
Notre Dame.
Yeah, Tim Walsh's school. We got to say that because if Tim Walsh, he actually will – I'll get in trouble if I don't mention everybody that's from Notre Dame on this program. It's kind of crazy. Let's take a break here on the Gus Bradley Show. When we come back, more with the head coach here on the Gus Bradley Show on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
Welcome back to the Gus Bradley Show, and got a couple more segments here to go with the head coach, Gus Bradley. And Gus, go ahead, crank it up.
Tony, you know, he's in here, and I think he's trying to get me amped up. It's like that guy, right, Joe, that sits on your shoulder and just barks in your ear. So
there was ever,
I got to eliminate the distractions. Ignore the noise.
Or that anybody's going to get you amped up, I don't think so. you do a pretty good job of that on your own. One guy that I wanted to talk about is Aaron Colvin. Watching him kind of make the progression from last year, just trying to get physically right, coming back from the ACL tear at the Senior Bowl to playing football again, and to where he filled a role as a nickelback last year, this year competed for a job, appears to have won a cornerback spot. And watching him play against the New York Giants, I love watching his feet because he's just so – his feet are calm. His feet never panic when he's reading a route in man coverage. It's pretty special.
Yeah, he is. You know what? Here he is. He's playing on the, you know, nickel all last year, played a little bit on the outside. But this year, he really wanted to have a chance to compete on the perimeter. And he did a really good job. So now he's playing on the outside and first and second down. And then when they go three wides, he moves inside. And one of the conversations we had was it's very similar to Rondae Barber. You know, Rondae played outside and then moved inside. And that's a challenge now to start at both positions. There's a lot on your plate. But it was one that he really wanted that opportunity. And, you know, I think it helped him that he started out at nickel last year. and you know, could really gain the concepts because he plays, you know, multiple zone coverages, and a lot is asked on the inside, and the game happens faster there. So, yeah, he's really done a nice job with both responsibilities.
Does it require a certain level of maturity for a player to be able to handle that? Because it's almost like you need to step through one door to play one position and then change your mindset, step through another door to play the other.
Well, I think, first of all, you have to be talented. You have to be a talented individual because sometimes it's two different body types that you're looking for. But he has that. And then I think the mental part of it, to be able to transfer and to go inside and remember a lot of the combinations and your keys in there. Because now all of a sudden, now you're involved in the run again, you know, when you're inside. So, yeah, he's just done a good job there.
On the other side of the field this week will be one of the longtime Jaguars, one of the great Jaguars in history. Rasheen Mathis played from 03 to 2012 for this football team, and he's going to turn age 36 this year. And I, watching him last week, the guy seems like he's ageless, and the guy that pops into my mind, and he's not there yet, was the longtime cornerback for the Washington Redskins, Darryl Green, who played, I don't know, was it 18, 19, 20 years, something like that?
Yeah. No, he's doing well, you know, and, you know, a true pro. I have not had a chance to meet him, but everything I hear from the people around here and some of the guys that played with him, you know, really hold him in high regard. And that's great to see he's playing at such a high level.
All right, let's take a break here on the Gus Bradley Show, and we'll come back with one more segment right after this on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
And welcome back to the Gus Bradley Show. Last segment to go, and last week in New York, I got to see that you and Coughlin got to spend a little time together before the game, and a handshake, obviously, after the game. I got a chance to visit with him a little bit after the game. He's a very wise man.
He is. I know he's helped me out. We've had conversations, and I appreciate his time that, you know, we sit down and have great conversations, although not as many as I would like. But, you know, we see each other at the combine and then in the summer, you know, when he's here. So, yeah, just a guy that we hold in high regard.
You know, this is his 20th year in the National Football League as a head coach, which means that he's going to be getting ready for his 20th roster cutdown time of year, which is pretty amazing. And the cuts are looming. Tuesday of next week by 4 p.m., you guys have to be down to 75. And then the following Saturday, you guys have to be to 53. That's not an easy time, is it?
No, it's a, you know, tough time of the year, you know, because these guys, they pour their heart and soul into it. They practice. They give you everything they got. And it doesn't mean that they're not going to make it in the NFL. It's just that you might not have a roster spot for them. So those are always difficult decisions and tough conversations to have.
How do you handle that? I mean, is there a, you know, back in the old day, they used to have, what was that guy's name? The Turk, who used to walk around. You know, and the Turk used to be, you know, jokingly, the guy that had the hood and the sickle and walk around and, you know, turn in your playbook, your coach wants to see you. But is there a way that you try to handle that?
Well, you know, I can just tell you, I don't know most teams. I know Dave and I always try to do it together, you know, and visit with the player. And there's no script. It's not like, okay, this is what we say and this is how we handle it. We just go in there and try to be real, and we try to help the player out. We give them the whys and how we feel. And, you know, but it's tough, you know, and you feel for them. But the players, they're professionals, and they know. And you know, it's, I think, a really appreciation on both ends.
I would imagine that now in year three, as the roster continues to improve, it's not going to get any easier.
No, you know, and that's a good problem. It's a good problem to have that these decisions are becoming tougher and tougher. And you may get, you know, let it go a couple players that are end up going to go play somewhere. And that's kind of what you hope, you know, that you can develop them in the OTAs and the training camp and that they do have an opportunity to play if they're not here.
And how many practice squad? 10?
Yeah,
10. And, boy, the rules have changed, so it probably makes you feel good that the rules have changed. You get a little bit more flexibility about, you know, the requirements for the practice squad.
Sure. Yeah, it does. And that's, I'm glad they made that change because it does help you and it allows you to develop players that are more game ready. You know, sometimes you have practice players, but if an injury took place, they might not be game ready. And I think by this and, you know, training camp, us having these guys in-house, we got more guys that'll be game ready.
All right, so now that I've sucked the energy out of you by talking about having to do the worst job about being a head coach.
Yeah, I know, huh? Good job, Logs.
Let's get some energy back in here to use a little Gus term. What will you tell your team tonight?
Well, you know what? They got a wide variety of things possibly going on in their head. You know, some guys maybe have some anxiety about making the team. Some guys, you know, maybe it's national TV. Other guys are, you know, are calm and cool and collective. And so, I mean, a million things going through their heads. So really just to bring them together and live in the moment, I think, for all of them.
And what will be going through your head?
Well, I think
you ever self-evaluate like that?
Oh,
say, well,
yeah.
You're trying to think them and not, okay, let me focus it on me.
Sure. You know, I think as a coach, too, you do the same thing. You want to be your best for the team and on the sideline, make good decisions. So you have to go through the same thought process.
Well, best of luck tomorrow night, Gus. And I'm looking forward to watching a great challenge against the Detroit Lions.
No, it'll be great. It'll be a great night. Thank you.
And, by the way, do you know Jim Caldwell at all? Spend any time with him?
I met with him last year when we played. Remember his third preseason?
That's right. Maybe next week we'll talk about how it was talking to Jim Caldwell. We'll do that right here on the Gus Bradley Show. We'll see everybody same time, same place next week.